Please be seated. Not too long ago, there was a death in our family. The body was lovingly washed and wrapped in cloth. The decision had been made to have a green burial, which took place in our backyard. Once the hole was dug and the coffin gently placed, words were said. There were some tears, and the burial was completed. Now, before you question our practice, I should note that it was my granddaughter's beloved guinea pig that had died. It was important to her that he be buried with all due respect and care. The small ceremony had to contain something of the loving solemnity that she imagines the burial of a person would have. Snoop Hogg, no, I didn't name him. Snoop Hogg had been her companion, her friend, and he was to be honored. So this was an important goodbye for her. I should note, however, that she is also someone who has a passion for biology and ecology. And I'm not sure she's noticed that I have noticed, but she regularly visits the burial site to see what new gifts her friend is providing for the ecosystem in the surrounding forest. She too has joined with youth around the globe to protest climate change. And she might not be quite old enough to articulate it, but she does see a relationship between climate issues and the devaluing of people, the othering of people, the them and us. With many of her generation, she struggles to imagine a positive future for herself and her friends. Inspired by Greta Thunberg, among others, these youth are engaged. They challenge and they question with scalpel-sharp insights the very assumptions upon which we have traditionally based our economies and lifestyles. Advent is a season when voices from the wilderness of injustice take on a stark intensity. It is a necessary contrast to the simplified versions of feel good, peace, and hope, which is promoted around us. It is easy to be seduced by the busyness and the colorful lights of the season. However, I would suggest to you, Advent is a season of prophecy and protest. The prophet Isaiah's words live large in Advent, lyrical and challenging, poetic and unlikely. He offers hope for and a glimpse of a new creation. This vision of a reordered creation is rather remarkable. Predators dwell in harmony with their prey. Carnivorous instincts are transformed. And the most vulnerable humans in society are free to play with venomous snakes. Interspecies violence effectively comes to an end, and harmony ensues. And additional insights emerge when these texts are read against the broader Near Eastern background. In the royal propaganda of the ancient Near East, royal figures frequently encountered predatory animals, especially lions. The killing of lions demonstrated one's worthiness to rule and was a sign of divine favor. No wonder we have so few lions here in Victoria. But that aside, kings were depicted fighting and killing lions, not living among them. This is not so for the new shoot. The promise of a new shoot from the stump of Jesse is intended as a reminder of hope. It was not new news that a Messiah would come, but the listeners needed to be reminded that there would come one who would promote justice, judge in favor of the poor, and encourage reconciliation throughout God's creation. So as we step out of that tableau, as Isaiah's words have barely finished reverberating, then we hear out of the Judean wilderness another voice calling people to attention. Matthew brings John into focus for us. He is not grandly prophetic like Isaiah, nor is he Elijah newly returned. This voice is different, but powerful nonetheless. John appears out of nowhere in the wilderness of Judea. He's forceful in his call for repentance, as we have heard. And this repentance is more than saying sorry for past sins, more than regret or remorse. It is an active, fully committed turning away from the past way of living and the beginning of a new one initialized by baptism. I find Matthew's description of him interesting. He goes out of his way to describe John's lifestyle choices. John was not someone who attended synagogue regularly. While from a respected and wealthy religious family, his choices mark him, at best, as a radical. His clothing was locally sourced, and while similar to typical traditional prophetic wear, it too was different. He foraged for his food, locusts and honey. There has been so much written about that, but that's for another time. And he was probably homeless. Yet his call to repentance seemed to fill an empty space for so many people. They were craving assurance that the Messiah was coming. And I think there was relief. Relief that they could prepare. Relief that they could repent. This baptism of John's was different. It was radical because in John's call to repentance and baptism, he was offering another way for remission of sins without requiring a trip to Jerusalem and the offering of a sacrifice. The kingdom had truly come near. This may explain in part why the Jerusalem-based religious leadership would have been uneasy with John's words and actions. Their authority was questioned, as we have heard. John had no time nor patience for them, and he didn't mince words. A radical, loud protester in the wilderness, John was faithful to God's call, unafraid to challenge the religious leaders, unafraid to challenge the people, unafraid to challenge tradition, unafraid to proclaim destruction unless there was deep change. Karen Armstrong has written in one of her books that every 500 years or so, we seem to go through major upheavals. And I don't think it would be any surprise to any of you that we are in the midst of an upheaval at this moment. We see the stumps of nations and empires in decay and decline. We see the stumps of our planet becoming inhospitable, the extinction of so many life forms, from plants, birds, animals, to ecosystems. We too desperately seek the wisdom of the wilderness. And part of this can be found in a return to Jesus' own teachings and our rediscovery of how subversive they are when we look at our own religious and spiritual habits. John beckons to us. His call to repentance has not lost its urgency. Let's remove the Isaiah-like clothing and robes from him and clothe him in the garb of a 21st century climate change protester. A radical protester who lives lightly on the earth, who forages for his food or chooses sustainable foods. One who brings an urgent message, not only through words, but actions. One who deeply knows the mystery of baptism in the flowing water of the River Jordan. Repentance, metanoia, turning away, choosing a different path. This is a challenge at this time of year when familiar traditions are held close to our hearts. Perhaps that's the problem. Prophetic protest has little room in the practices that have come to define this time of year. Someone said it could that Jerusalem has once again become corrupted. Through our actions and self-serving belief systems, we have allowed our ethics, values, and principles to be redefined. Who are the wilderness voices today? Who is calling us to repentance? Have we too been waiting for the opportunity to turn away from lifestyles we know separate us from each other and the Creator? So I wonder when each of us wakes up on this coming Christmas morning, how will we be different? How will we be different? Amen.